إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of knowledge and merits of the knowledgeable. And in the last session, we talked about some hadith that not only recommend but also urge Muslims, believers, to inquire about religion. When you don't know something, you should ask. Now we are moving to the next chapter in Biharul Anwar. Volume 1, pages 198 onwards, which is Babu Muzakarat al-Ilm wa Mujalasat al-Ulama wal Hudur fi Majalis al-Ilm wa Dhamm Mukhalatat al-Juhal. The late Allama Majlisi, Rahmatullah alayh, mentions tens of hadith in this chapter about discussing knowledge, sitting with ulama, attending the sessions of learning and teaching, and also blaming the people who waste their time by sitting with the ignorant people. So there are tens of hadith here, I mentioned some of them. The first hadith is what Allama Majlisi cites from Amali by Shaykh Saduq. And this hadith is narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-mu'minu. Please try to remember this beautiful hadith. I think everyone, after reflecting on this hadith, would be very much determined to learn and then write some useful papers or books. Al-mu'minu. إِذَا مَاتَ وَتَرَكَ وَرَقَةً وَاحِدَةً عَلَيْهَا عِلْمٌ. If a believer dies while he leaves behind one page on which some knowledge is registered, is written, is recorded. So imagine maybe few hadiths, few, I don't know, ideas, some beautiful points. Just one page. تَكُونُ تِلْكَ الْوَرَقَةِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ سِتْرًا فِي مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّارِ. This one page, which has something useful, and of course it's written with the pure intention, not something which is written in the order to show off or to, you know, I have, you know, some publications or, you know, to get money. Something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you write and then people find it useful and benefit from what you have written. On the day of judgment, this page would stand between you and hellfire. Would be a barrier between you and fire. You would not be harmed by fire. وَأَعْتَاهُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ مَكْتُوبٍ عَلَيْهَا مَدِينَةً. And for every letter that he has written on this page, Allah will give him a city. أوسع من الدنيا سبع مرات. Not a little town, not even a large town in our understanding and our, you know, scale. Allah will give him a town which is 7 times larger than dunya. Because as we said before about some of the hadith about the rewards of the ulama, we said you cannot really compare dunya with anything from akhirah. Even a little reward from akhirah is better than all dunya, because all dunya is something material and mata'ud dunya qaleel. But when it comes to reward of akhirah, Allah says ajrun azim, ajrun kareem, ajrun kabir. But dunya is qaleel. So what Allah gives to a person who writes something useful is better than dunya with everything which is in dunya. وَمَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ يَقْعُدُ سَاعَةً عِنْدَ الْعَالِمِ. There is no believer that sits for an hour, for example, for a while. Sa'ah is not necessarily 60 minutes. Sa'ah can be a portion of time, for some time. No mu'min, no believer sits with an alim for some time, for an hour, for example. Illa nadahu rabbuhu azza wa jalla. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Lord, would call him. So this is what Allah says to such person. A person who has sat with an alim. Jalasta ila habibi. You sat next to my friend, my beloved. Wa izzati wa jalali la uskinannaka al-jannah ma'ahu. By my dignity and glory, I am going to make you sit with him in heaven. La uskinannaka, in some version, la askantuka, it's the same. I'm going to make you able to sit with him in heaven. Wala ubali, and I don't care. I don't care whether you are in his level or not. I don't care what other people may say about this. Because you have shown love to this alim, respect to this alim, and wanted to benefit from him, you will be with him. This hadith is very important hadith. I don't want to stop on one hadith, because my idea is to read as many hadith as possible. But just I want you to reflect on some points. First of all, the significance of learning. Learning is very important. Inshallah, as you will see, how learning and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are taken as two sides of the same coin. Allama Majlisi quotes hadith about remembrance of Allah, about zikr, about religion and being a religious person, and equates them with knowledge. Inshallah, we will see. So knowledge is very important. But also, one nature of knowledge is that it is not remaining with one person. You know, knowledge is like light. If I have light here to read or study, the nature of light is that other people also can benefit. If I have money, I can put money in my pocket and no one else can use it. Yeah, but if I have food, I can eat it, but not everyone else can benefit. But knowledge is like light. Every person can benefit. Maybe sometimes other people benefit more than the person himself. So the nature of knowledge is that it's common and it's available to other people. And then by registering your knowledge, you make it available not to the people who are living with you and are around you, you make it available to the people in other parts of the world and in next generations. So you extend this light to other people. So This is why our ulama were very determined to write books, to write essays. Sometimes they didn't have any expectation of being able to publish. Sometimes ulama have written books that were never published. But even hoping that maybe someone is going to read these books was enough for them to write these books. Alhamdulillah, nowadays we have many, many opportunities for publishing. We can publish it as a book, as a paper, in journals. At least we can publish it on internet. So we must not lose any opportunity for learning and producing useful materials. Of course, I'm saying useful because sometimes it's not useful. And unfortunately, sometimes people, you know, write things that are not useful, even they can be harmful, or they are useless. But things that really people need and they can benefit from in their day-to-day life. We have to use every opportunity to write such things. The next point is that when Rasulullah says, one page that you write and leave behind and remains after you, it stands as a barrier between you and hellfire. I think this shows that the main source of fire is jahl, is ignorance. And knowledge and ignorance cannot be together. So if knowledge and fire are in conflict, and knowledge extinguishes fire, it is because knowledge is more powerful than jahl. Those who go to hell, they are jahil. Either jahil in the sense that they don't know, or jahil in the sense that they don't act wisely. Because there are people who know, but still they are jahil. Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam said, رُبَّ عَالِمٍ قَتَلَهُ جَحْلُهُ وَعِلْمُهُ مَعْهُ لَا يَنْفَعُهُ. There are many knowledgeable people that are destroyed by their ignorance. They have knowledge, but the knowledge cannot benefit them. Jahala in the Quran is not only not knowing. Jahala can be not acting wisely, not acting rationally, not acting according to the knowledge. So, the main source for suffering is not knowing. While you have ability to know, while you had access to knowledge, or knowing and not acting according to your knowledge, not acting upon your knowledge. Therefore, if you have knowledge first, and second, you spread your knowledge, so you would be protecting yourself and other people against fire, against suffering of the day of judgment. So these are a few points that I wanted to mention about the first hadith. The next hadith is hadith number 3. So I mentioned hadith number 1, I mentioned number 3, because there are tens of hadiths in this chapter. I'm just reading some of them. This hadith is from Imam Reza alayhi salam. Man jalasa majlisan yuhya fihi amruna. Whoever sits in a gathering in which our affair is revived. According to many hadiths, to revive the affairs of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam means to learn their knowledge, their teachings, and share with other people. You know the beautiful hadith that Imam Reza alayhi salam said, may Allah's mercy be upon the people who revive our affairs. Rahimallahu umra'an ahya amrana. Then the people ask, how your affair can be revived? Kaifa yuhya amrukum? Imam alayhi salam said, by teaching our sciences, our knowledge, our teachings, and by learning and then teaching other people. If you learn our hadith, our teachings, and share with other people, you have revived our efforts. And then Imam said, "Lo alama an-nas mahasana kalamina lattaba'una." We had this hadith in some of our sessions last year. Here Imam Raza alayhi salam says, "Man jalasa majlisan yuhya fihi amruna." Whoever sits in a gathering, I hope inshallah our gathering is also one of those gatherings in which we mention the hadith of Ahlul Bayt and we try to share this with other people. لَمْ يَمُتْ قَلْبُهُ يَوْمَ تَمُوتُ الْقُلُوبِ. His heart or her heart will not die on the day that the hearts die. On the day of judgment, because of pressure, because of fear, because of worries, many people would lose their life of the soul. They are not dead physically, but their soul is like that. But Imam Raza says such people would remain alive on the day of judgment. Another hadith is from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Tafsir al-Ibn Ibrahim Qummi, and Allama Majlisi quotes from Tafsir Qummi. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, "Ayyuhan nas, توبى لمن شغله عيبه عن عيوب الناس." This is the hadith that we have from different members of Ahlul Bayt, the beginning of hadith. Unfortunately, as you know, sometimes we get busy with finding out faults and problems in people. As soon as we learn something, we want to find who is, you know, suffering from this problem. If, for example, I know that to be jealous is bad, then I look around and find who is jealous. So I make myself busy with finding out faults of the people, which is not useful. What is more useful is to examine myself and to find out my own problems, my own faults, my own shortcomings, my own deficiencies. Amir al-Mu'minin said, "Tuba liman shaghalahu 'aybuhu 'an 'uyub an-nas." Well done to the one whose faults make him busy and preoccupied, so he doesn't have any time to investigate problems in other people. You know, sometimes in life this happens. When you go to Hajj, for example, and you are doing Tawaf or Rami, you see how much we are focused on ourselves. We don't have any time, any interest in finding whose Tawaf is okay or not, whose Rami is okay. Because I know that I have to 100% focus on my own a'mal, my own deeds. Otherwise, my deeds will be void. So the whole life is like this. We shouldn't focus on other people's problems, other people's faults. وَتَوَاضَعَ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَنْ قَصَةٍ. After focusing on your own faults, the second thing, which is also related, because if you focus on your own faults, you naturally become humble. When you focus on other people's faults, you naturally think that you are better and you become arrogant. So the second thing is connected to the first. تَوَاضَعَ مِنْ غَيْرَ مَنْ قَصَى. He is humble, but without deficiency. There are several interpretations, but I think the best interpretation is, he is not humble because he has a problem. You know, sometimes I am humble because I have done something bad, or for example, I am poor, I am weak, I have no support, so I am humble. But sometimes a person is humble despite all the strengths that he has, all the support that he has.
This is important, not to be humble because you are weak. من تواضع وتواضع من غير من قصر. He is humble without any deficiency, without any problem. The third, وجالس أهل الفقه والرحمة. He sits with the people of knowledge, with ulama, with talabe, students, scholars, who are the people of knowledge and rahmah. It's a beautiful combination, knowledge and rahmah. So it shows that knowledge brings softness, knowledge brings kindness, knowledge brings tender, and ignorance brings arrogance, harshness, hard-heartedness. This is coming because of jahl. Alim becomes humble and soft and gentle. وَخَالَتَ أَهْلَ الظُّلِّ وَالْمَسْكَنَةِ. He sits with the people of knowledge, with scholars, with learners, and also mixes with the people who are poor, people who may not have any worldly privilege. It's very good to mix with such people, because these are the people that they don't have anyone else to look after them. These are the people who are not arrogant. These are the people whose hearts are very soft and very much loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the habits of all the prophets and holy people was to spend some time with the poor people, with the people who are vulnerable in the society. وَأَنْفَقَ مَالًا جَمَعَهُ فِي غَيْرَ مَعْصِيَةٍ. And also spends the money that he has collected and accumulated over time, he spends that money for the sake of Allah. مِنْ غَيْرَ مَعْصِيَةٍ means he has collected this money without committing sin, or he spends the money without committing sin. Perhaps the best is collected money without sin, and now he's spending. Because sometimes money is earned from haram, then there is no point in giving this for charity, for sadaqah. If money is earned from haram, even spending it can be more sinful. Imagine, you know, there is a poor person that all his life he has not eaten from haram, and I have some haram to give him. I am feeding his body, but I am harming his soul. I must not give haram money to someone, even if that person is in need of money. So, according to this hadith, Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions several characteristics. One is to be busy with your own faults. Second, to be humble. Third is to sit with the people of knowledge and mercy. أهل الفقه والرحمة. The fourth is to mix with the people who are weak, who are poor. And the fourth is, sorry, the sixth is to spend the money that you have accumulated not from haram. The next hadith is a beautiful advice Imam Ali gave to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah. You know, Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, but not from Lady Fatima. And Imam gave him this wasiyah, this will. قَالَ أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ فِي وَسِيَّتَهِ لِبْنِهِ مُحَمَّدَ ابْنِ الْحَنَفِيَّةِ. In this will, in this advice, Imam Ali mentions to him that a person, in order to be good person, in order to be a person who observes all the etiquettes, has to observe certain things when he is traveling and certain things when he is in his own town. اعلم ان مروءة المرء المسلم مروءتان مروءة في حضر ومروءة في سفر. مروءة is what we say in Farsi, مروءة. For a man to be perfect, to be complete, to be a person that has led good life, two different things have to be observed. Certain things are for when you travel, certain things when you are in your own town. أَمَّا مُرُوَةُ الْحَذَرِ. When you are in your own town, to be a good person, you have to do these things. First, فَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ. Recitation of the Quran is very important. Second, وَمُجَالَسَةُ الْعُلَمَاء. When you travel, maybe you don't have access to ulama. But when you are in your own town, you don't have any excuse. You cannot say, I don't know who is alim, I don't know where alim, you know, lives. You have to know ulama of your town, and you have to sit with them and learn from them. وَالنَّظَرُ فِي الْفِقْحِ. When you are in your own town, you have to have some time, some programs, some arrangements for learning fiqh. Fiqh, either in narrow sense or in general, in the sense of deep understanding of Islam. وَالْمُحَافَظَةُ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ فِي الْجَمَاعَاتِ. You have to say your salat in congregation, salatul jama'ah. When you travel, sometimes there is no jama'ah, or you don't have, you know, time. But when you are in your own town, you should attend salatul jama'ah. أَمَّا مُرُوَةُ السَّفَرِ. But when you are traveling, a few people are traveling, they have come to come for ziyara, like some of the brothers and sisters who have come here for ziyara. Or for example, you go to other places for business, for ziyara, for visiting friends, whatever. فَبَزْلُ الزَّاد. One thing is to spend and share your provision with other people. When you are traveling, don't try to be too economical. Don't try, you know, to keep your money and save all your money. When you are traveling, spend more money for your family and with your friends. Of course, not to the extent that then you would become bankrupt, but during the trip you should give more food, more drink, you know, more entertainment and refreshments. Bazlu zad. So it's very important. وَقِلَّةُ الْخِلَافِ عَلَى مَنْ صَحِبَكَ. Don't argue too much with your companions in your travel. For example, where to stop, where to stay, which hotel, what food to eat, you know, what plan we should have. Try to be flexible. Let other people do what they want. Sacrifice your convenience for the sake of convenience of your friends. A mu'min should be very easy when it comes to these issues. With respect to your iman, you are strong. But with respect to these issues, you have to be very flexible, very easy. So, don't argue too much with your companions. وَكَسْرَةُ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي كُلِّ مَسْعَدٍ وَمَحْبَطٍ وَنُزُولٍ وَقِيَامٍ وَقُعُودٍ. Try to remember Allah. So maybe you cannot do Salatul Jama'ah, no problem. But you can remember Allah all the time. Whenever you are climbing, I don't know, a hill or mountain, or you are, I don't know, coming down and stationing in one place, sitting, standing up, in all circumstances, try to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then two beautiful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. I will finish my talk today with these two beautiful hadith about knowledge, but at the same time about the significance of mu'mineen visiting each other and spending some time together. So I move on to the hadith number 7. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Ya Khaythama, Aqra Mawaleen As-Salam. O Khaythama, say my salam to our followers, to our lovers, to our Shia. Say my salam to them. Now we should say, wa alaykum as-salam. وَأُوْسِيهِمْ بِتَقْبَى اللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And advise them, it means this is my advice for them, to observe requirements of taqwa, to be pious. وَأَنْ يَشْهَدَ أَحْيَاؤُهُمْ جَنَائِزَ مَوْتَاهُمْ. When one of our followers dies, those who are alive should attend the funeral of the dead person. It's a very important right of a mu'min upon other mu'mineen that if someone dies, you attend his funeral. But this is very important. وَأَنْ يَتَلَاقَوْا فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ. They should visit each other in their houses, in their homes. A mu'min cannot see mu'mineen only in the mosque and Husayniyah. You are like family. Can you say to your father, I only see you in the mosque? No. You have to go to his house and visit him and have some private time with him. Mu'mineen are members of the same family. They have to visit each other in their houses. As we have in Dua Nudbe, we say, هَلْ مِنْ جَزُوعٍ فَأُصَاعِدَ جَزَعْهُ إِذَا خَلَى. Not only in public, إِذَا خَلَى, when he is alone in private. So Imam Sadiq asked us to show our commitment to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam by visiting each other, having a cup of tea together, having a meal together, or maybe nothing to eat and drink, just spend some time together in our houses. Because this would strengthen the community. This would not let shaitan to penetrate. Shaitan very much wants to spread hatred and suspicion among mu'mineen. But when we meet, when we shake hand, when we sit face to face and talk to each other, then shaitan cannot do anything. Then Imam said, look at this hadith. فَإِنَّ لُقِيَّاهُمْ حَيَاتُ أَمْرِنَا. The meeting of the Shia with each other revives our affair. When you meet each other, it's not something simple. It's a means for continuing the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Unfortunately, we are not very strong in this side. When it comes to the ties of brotherhood, when it comes to very personal and intimate relation between mu'mineen, we don't give it a priority. We think everything is what we do outside, what we do in the public. But this personal relation between mu'mineen is very important. Then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam rafa'a yadahu, he raised his hand. And he said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً أَحْيَا أَمْرَنَا. May Allah's mercy be upon the one who revives our affair. So if you visit each other for the sake of Allah, Imam's dua would include you. Because he said, if you visit each other, this is revival of our affairs. And then he said, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً أَحْيَا أَمْرَنَا. The final hadith for today is the hadith again from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, but this time Imam gave this message through Dawood ibn Sirhan. Ya Dawood, abligh mawaliya an salam. O Dawood, convey my salam to our followers. Wa anni aqul, and tell them that this is my message. رحم الله عبدا اجتمع مع آخر فَتَذَاكَرَ أَمْرَنَا. May Allah's mercy be upon the one who sits with another person. Maybe it's a meeting of two people, but still they sit with each other and تَذَاكَرَ أَمْرَنَا, and they discuss our issues. They discuss our teaching, they discuss the challenges that the community is facing, they discuss anything which relates to us.
فَإِنَّ الثَّالِثَهُمَا مَلَكٌ يَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمَا.
If two mu'mins sit with each other and discuss our issues and affairs, the third would be an angel who would ask forgiveness for them. So we shouldn't waste our time by doing things which are only personal. We should try to spend time together, learning, discussing, planning, deciding to do some projects for the community, inshallah.
وَمَجْتَمَعَ اثْنَانْ عَلَىٰ ذِكْرِنَا إِلَّا بَاهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَىٰ بِهِمَا الْمَلَائِكَةِ.
There is no two people, two persons who sit with each other, discuss with each other, they remember us in their meeting, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be proud of them. And Allah would say to the angels, look at these two servants of mine. They have come together to remember Ahlul Bayt.
فَإِذَا اجْتَمَعْتُمْ فَاشْتَغِلُوا بِالذِّكْرِ.
Whenever you come together, try to remember Allah, try to remember your responsibilities towards Allah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam.
فَإِنَّ فِي اجْتِمَاعِكُمْ وَمُذَاكَرَتِكُمْ إِحْيَاءَنَا.
Because in your meetings, in you coming together and discussing, our affairs would be revived.
وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَعْدِنَا.
The best of people after us.
مَنْ ذَاكَرَ بِأَمْرِنَا وَدَعَى إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِنَا.
The best people after us are those who discuss about our affairs and our issues and invite other people to the same thing. So this is the merit of a person who is concerned about the community of Ahlul Bayt, uses his time, his energy, meets people to discuss how the affairs of Ahlul Bayt can be advanced, can be promoted, how problems can be overcome. And for sure, such community would not leave any room and space for shaitan to spread hatred, mistrust, misunderstanding, conflict, disagreement. This has to be thousands of miles away from the community of Ahlul Bayt. Community of Ahlul Bayt is united and is full of love and support for each other. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to spend our life in learning, teaching, and sharing the beautiful teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam with everyone who is interested in the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif and make it as soon as possible and as easy as possible. May Allah keep us and our children on the right path. May Allah safeguard our community from anything which is bad and disliked. May Allah give His healing and immediate shafa to all the brothers and sisters who are ill. May Allah send His rahmah to people who have passed away, especially those who have rights upon us, our parents and foreparents, and our teachers and ulama and maraji and the late Imam Khomeini. May Allah make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.